T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Based on the conversations that I had with two different people who have spent time with Belichick, here's what they both said. Belichick genuinely loves Cam Newton. He loves him. He loved his work ethic. He loved everything he brought to the table this year, except there's one big but.
Uh-oh.
His throwing shoulder. He obviously does not have a whole lot left, not a whole lot of juice left in that shoulder.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Fitzy Stevens is with us. That was Ben Volen yesterday talking about, basically mimicking Diana Rossini. You know, Bill Belichick loves, that's my emphasis, not his, Cam Newton. Except for that whole thing about not being able to throw the football.
The New England Patriots love Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah. We'll get into that in just a moment real quickly. I hate doing this, but I have to out one of my Nesson colleagues. Nesson.com.
Ray Croft.
Adam London has a piece on Nesson.com. Hmm. Did free agent J.J. Watt reveal final 3 teams he's considering?
He did, on his bike.
And Adam's got the whole J.J. Watt Peloton thing up there. And
all that work for nothing. Now he's got to go in there and delete it.
Oopsies.
Or do you keep it up there for the clicks? Or do you keep it up there for the clicks and the mocking?
The clicks and likes.
Just wear it at that point. That's your article for the day. You know, go back to doing whatever you're doing. So, I mean, yeah, job well done.
Should have waited.
Do it for the likes and clicks.
Maybe what's Adam should have waited until J.J. Watt said, I don't have a bike.
Yep.
Stop.
But he didn't say I'm not considering those three teams.
No, I mean, we've heard those three teams mentioned in the past. I'm sure he is considering them.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it meant quite what some people thought it meant.
All right.
Anyway, back to the Cam Newton thing here. Ben Volen says Bill Belichick loves him. Do we have to play the disclaimer, which we haven't played in a while? I mean, I know
probably
the whole.
Just to cover our bases might want to do this. This is good for the rest of the show, by the way.
Cam Newton is an incredible human, and any disdain we express toward him is strictly in reference to his abilities on the football field. We love Cam deeply and wish him well, but we don't want him anywhere near Gillette Stadium.
Okay, I feel better now. We've got our legal bases covered here. If Bill Belichick, as Ben Volen suggested, is concerned about Cam's throwing shoulder, it's because Bill Belichick has eyes. He could see what we could see, which is that Cam Newton couldn't throw the football last year.
Yeah, but can he throw it next year? They're going to try it. I'm telling you, the more and more I think about it, the more likely he is going to be back. Because what scenario is he not back in? If you get Jimmy Garoppolo?
Functioning human being at quarterback?
Yeah, but Dale, but who though? But I feel like if it's a rookie, we already said maybe he's back.
Yeah.
If it's another guy, maybe you have some sort of a competition. They obviously like him a lot. So if Bill Belichick was deciding between he and Alex Smith, I think he's going to take Cam Newton. And like these are the other type of players who are going to be available. So I could see him taking Cam, because I don't think Cam's going to command a ton of money. And some of these other guys, anybody who's any good, is probably going to say, well, I'm going to make more. Like Jameis Winston, after playing for not very much this year, he's probably going to re-sign with the Saints for more than what Cam Newton's going to make somewhere. So
we'll get more at the bottom of the hour. We'll get more into the list, the rankings, the top 10 options for the Patriots for a veteran quarterback. The bottom line, from my perspective, and I was out on Cam maybe even earlier than I should have been, but since October I was saying I don't want to see him at quarterback anymore. It was clear to me that even when he had guys open. And I understand he doesn't have the world's best weapons. And all of the things Wiggy says about the quality at wide receiver and quality at tight end, all valid. I'm not invalidating anything. Wiggy knows more about football than I do anyway. But there were times we saw where he had guys open and he missed them. And I don't mean by a little. I mean by a lot.
Oh, I think he stinks right now. I think he absolutely stinks. But I just trying to figure out Belichick's thought process, which I know is tough. You know, every year we always guess what they're going to do with the draft, and they do the exact opposite. So it's not an easy thing to do. But I just feel like he knows him, and there's been so many things that have come up that I think if you just add it all together, like, he likes him so much. But also, we talked about, you know, free agents and coming here to New England. And you and I, Dale, and Fitzy are going to view it a whole lot different than some of these other NFL free agents. Guys who are in the league still see Cam Newton as a former MVP and a guy that, look at the response that all the Patriots had as soon as they signed him. At the end of June, they signed him for $1 million, and every star player on the team was doing googly eyes on Twitter, and they couldn't believe it. Guys in that league view Cam Newton so much higher than they view Jimmy Garoppolo, Mitchell Trubisky, Ryan Fitzpatrick, all these guys. So if you add it all up, it points back to a Cam Newton year two with New England.
And why do they, Rich? On reputation alone, because of his personality?
I think he has the big personality, but he also has a really good football resume. Mm-hmm. He does. He was an MVP. He went to a Super Bowl, multi-time Pro Bowler, I believe. Like, he checks a lot of the boxes. Like, some of the career rushing stats for a quarterback. Like, all these things that he has. And he's just he's a big personality presence. Like, when guys are around him, like, it's hard not to get swept up in him because of his, you know, charisma.
But talking about, like, the Patriots bringing him back, and last year they signed him for $1 million, he told you last week on Brandon Marshall's podcast he didn't have any other options last year. And that brings me to this year.
I think this is the only option he's going to have this year.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Dale, because of the year that he just had and how people and teams are going to have to interact with each other. If he had this much trouble picking up the Patriots offense during a truncated offseason and then throughout the season, knowing how much time he put into it and how much time Fish and McDaniels and Belichick likely spent with him trying to get him integrated into the system, COVID withstanding, as quickly as possible, what is going to make another team say, well, he still has such a body of work out there and he is Cam Newton, so even if he couldn't work with the Patriots and was 7-8 and missing guys that were wide open, we think we should probably bring him in here because, hey, he's Cam Newton, and we love a googly eyes and a tweet as much as the next team. I can't see that happening.
One of the reasons why he didn't have a lot of offers last year is because teams were afraid of the injury. And I know that's one thing, Dale, you talked about at the time when he signed here. He'd only played in two games that past year. And the
it
year
was
before
the
that,
only
I think
concern
he,
I had. As so it turned he, out, I was wrong. There were other concerns I
there
should
were.
Have had.
But at the very least, he proved that he could play an entire football season. And again, we can all make the jokes about how effective he was, but he played in 15 games. I feel like Washington will be interested in him. I feel like Chicago might be interested in him. And I would still say Cincinnati and Dallas are kind of wild cards because what do they want to do until their starter comes back?
But if Belichick is concerned, as Ben Volen hinted, at his throwing shoulder, maybe other teams don't think he's as healthy as he's tried to prove. Maybe other teams are looking at this and saying, look, he can't throw. I mean, that shoulder has got to be wrecked. If Belichick is concerned about it, my guess is Ron Rivera would be or anybody else mm-hmm. would be. I think that despite the fact that he could play in 15 of 16 games, missed the one because of COVID, was he really healthy when he played?
I mean, maybe not. Maybe they'll look into that. I do think what helps Cam Newton is Tom Brady's season, because I think around the league they'll say Tom Brady with a similar cast threw twice as many touchdowns the next year with a better team.
Yep.
So if you're somebody you could talk yourself into, like, what quarterback in the league would have done well? And again, I'm front of the line in making fun of 8 touchdown passes. That's an embarrassing number for anybody in a 15-game NFL season. 8, that's an embarrassing number. However, Tom Brady loses in the wild card round one year, wins the Super Bowl the next. I do think teams will take a look at what was going on in New England and be like, who is he throwing to? Edelman got hurt. Guys I've never heard of. No tight ends. Like, I think teams could twist themselves into it. And like we do every year, there's not 32 great quarterbacks. Like, not every team has a great starting quarterback. Like, that list is kind of small. And so some teams are going to be fighting over the Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world to see who their starter is, and maybe they choose Cam Newton.
So why then is the growing rank of amateur scouts, or rather the online scouts, the, you know, these guys like Taylor Kyles, who called us up one day, and Brad Kelly and a bunch of other guys who are starting, who are like earning reputations for themselves as talent scouts and footage evaluators of professional football, even some pro guys. Why are some of these guys defending Cam Newton while you've got other people with bigger names saying that there's no way that Cam Newton can come back? Where is the disconnect? I'm just trying to figure out why you can have a legion of Cam supporters and then a slightly larger legion of
Sims,
Cam detractors.
Sims and Florio love him. Like, those guys love Cam. I don't know how many other people love Cam. I think it might depend on, too, like, what is a... Honestly, I feel like this might have something to do with, like, what is a catchable pass? And some people might view it a little bit differently, because there are some stats out there, some of the PFF stats say Cam Newton was the least accurate quarterback in the league last year. But then you have some, like, a different group of nerds that are like, well, actually, like, they were pretty, you know, not that bad. Like, sort of more middle of the pack. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't need to see all these different numbers. I watched him play, and he was not an accurate quarterback, and his arm strength was poor.
Like, Cam Newton threw 368 passes, 8 touchdown passes, a touchdown percentage of 2.17%. Jarrett Stidham threw 44 passes, had 2 touchdowns, more than twice the touchdown percentage of Cam Newton at 4.55. Jacoby Myers threw 2 passes, both for touchdowns, 2 passes, and threw for a quarter of the touchdown passes Cam Newton threw for. What do you have to see? I mean, Stidham found a way to use subpar offensive talent and get right into the end zone. Jacoby Myers found a way with subpar. In fact, he was taking away one of his wide receiver options because the wide receiver option was throwing the football. He managed to throw touchdown passes. Why are people so adamant about defending Cam Newton with, yeah, but he didn't have anybody? It's like they love the personality so much, they're willing to make excuses for everything their lion eyes tell them.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I think if he was less charismatic, you know, if he was either, like, if he didn't talk or was an a-hole, you might not have as many people defending him. Because, like, you want him to be good. Like, you listen to him, you want him to be good. It'd be the same thing. If Chris Sale goes out there and gets shelled this year, you'd be like, well, like, what was his run support? And, like, I don't know, was he... Like, I don't know, some of those, some of those calls really affected him. Like, you'd make excuses for him because you like him and you want him to do well. That could be part of it.
See, I'd rather they make the COVID fog excuse for him.
Which we also have heard.
Yeah, I would rather they give me that one because my lion eyes don't tell me that that's not possible. I don't know. Maybe it is possible. Maybe he couldn't make the same mental decisions.
Right.
But the you know, his arm's fine. It's just he doesn't have anybody to throw to defense. Sorry, it doesn't fly for me.
Yeah, no, I don't like that one. I don't like the, oh, he was late in the playbook, and it was year one, and blah, blah, blah. Like, no. Tom Brady was year one, won a Super Bowl. Justin Herbert was year one, got thrown into a game when he didn't even think he was going to play because they punctured the lung of the starting quarterback, and the guy was rookie of the year. Like, you should be able to play better than he did. But again, I don't want him. I'm just telling you, prepare yourself for him to return.
What would you guys put the likelihood of Cam Newton? Not that we all want to be married to a number at this point, but we've discussed it so much and it's been swirling around for so long. What would you now put? Like, well, it was 35% to 40% a few weeks ago as per
Mike Giardi.
One of
the, yep. Mike Giardi said 35-40. I'll say 50. I'll go even right down the middle. 50-50.
I'll say 15.
Shut up.
Wow.
I don't think there's much of a chance. And I know Ben Volen said Bill loves him. I'm sure he does. You know, it's like Fitzy said, he's loved other players here that he's eventually had to say goodbye to who had a much longer history with the team than Cam Newton has had.
But like to Fitzy's point too, it's just, all right, what's the alternative? And I just look at it and I don't see Bill Belichick giving Mitchell Trubisky $20 million or Jameis Winston $20 million or all these guys $20 million or it's just a group of crap quarterbacks. And if you have some, you know, experience with one of those said crap quarterbacks, in this case Cam Newton, I think he would kind of go to the top. So that's why I put it at 50-50, because I can kind of poke holes into every other player you mentioned. Either they're on a team that won't trade them, or they're going to cost too much, or they're just they just stink. So I feel like maybe 50 is low. Maybe it's even higher than that.
I think I'm going to go a little higher. Point, Rich.
I'll go higher. I'll say 60.
60.
Mm-hmm. A 60% like Sex Panther chance.
That's right. 60% of the time, Cam Newton's back every time.
Wow.
I hope you're all wrong.
Of course, really do.
It's going to be a horrific watch again.
So Dale, if you were going to do the pie chart, and 15% is Cam Newton, is there a player that has a larger percentage, or do you just have like a bunch of guys that are all like roughly that?
Boston Robotics robot.
In fact, that's coming up next, because Tyler Sullivan, CBS Sports, has ranked his top 10 veteran quarterback options for the Patriots, and I will give you a quarterback who I think has a better than 15% chance of being the quarterback for the Patriots. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy. Shime's time to trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
There is a piece on CBSSports.com written by Tyler Sullivan. It was actually written a couple of days ago. I think it came out Saturday morning. And the headline is Ranking Veteran Quarterback Options for the Patriots. Jimmy Garoppolo headlines group don't rule out a Cam Newton return. And what Tyler Sullivan does is he ranks the veteran quarterback options. And his number one choice on here is Jimmy Garoppolo. He's also my number one choice. I now think there's too much smoke to there not being fire. We've heard it in too many places. It's come up too many times. We keep hearing, you know, well, the 49ers are asking about Teddy Bridgewater, and they're looking to go here. They're looking to. It seems clear to me they want out from under the Jimmy Garoppolo contract and the Jimmy Garoppolo specter as their starting quarterback. This is the one that makes the most sense to me. And while I give Cam Newton about a 15% chance of being back with the Patriots, I'm going to steal your number, Rich. I'm going to say Jimmy Garoppolo has a 50% chance of being the starting quarterback for the Patriots this year.
Wow.
I think that's way too high, because the Niners still have to get somebody else.
And they seem hell-bent on doing that.
So I don't think they get Deshaun Watson. And then
I agree.
Teddy Bridgewater, maybe they do. Like, was that, or is that just a rumor that popped off? And does Carolina want Garoppolo, or are they going to draft one? There's definitely plenty of smoke, Dale, I agree with you, on San Francisco moving on from Garoppolo. But there's also part of me that says, you know, some of those early reports that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would be fine. And again, not how you want to describe your franchise quarterback as you are fine with. But I think that they might say, all right, 2 years ago, we made a Super Bowl together. Last year was a mess, injuries across the board. Let's go one more year, see what we have here. And that's why I think there's still a chance that he could stay with the Niners. If he was just a free agent, sure, I think his number would be higher with the Patriots. But, I mean, he was number one on this list. I think he's number one on a lot of people's lists. But it's just, all right, that other move has to happen. And there also needs to be a trade where San Francisco gets the quarterback they want. But what if in that scenario Garoppolo just goes to that team? Like, what if Garoppolo is just Carolina starter or Minnesota starter or Houston starter? Or then you're the Patriots and you're like, oh shoot, he did move, but now he's on somebody else's team.
Help my recollection here. Does Garoppolo have a no trade?
I think he does.
Well, that could answer your question.
I think he's one of the few guys that does. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought I remembered that he is, as you said, one of the few guys who does have a no trade.
Yeah.
So he could just say, I don't want to go to Chicago, or I don't want to go to Minnesota.
See, he might want to go to Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago
from.
He might
want to go to
Minnesota. I just threw a name out there. But
Minnesota, though, you go to play with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a quarterback, that'd be a pretty good spot to go to.
Make like, you look pretty good real quick.
Like, he might like Belichick, but what's the appeal? We already heard Matthew Stafford doesn't want to come here. Carson Wentz, all these other quarterbacks wouldn't want to come here. So why would... Maybe he likes Josh and he likes Bill, but it's probably more important who he's throwing to than the guys coaching him on Sundays.
So here, just real quickly, Tyler Sullivan's list. He's got Jimmy Garoppolo 1, Marcus Mariota 2.
Woohoo!
A lot of smoke around that one.
Jacoby Brissett 3.
Awful. How? 3? What?
Ryan Fitzpatrick, 4, which I actually could see.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, 5.
Too low.
Higher than I would have had him. Tyrod Taylor, 6.
Prepare for mediocrity.
I like T-Mobile. Okay, I go for T-Mobile.
Andy Dalton, 7.
Ah, stop it.
Teddy Bridgewater, 8. Obviously, you'd have to trade for him. Mm-hmm. Here you go, Fitzy. Gardner Minshew, 9.
Did not.
Here we go.
The virus. I took one look at me, ran the other way. It's probably in its best interest.
And number 10 on his list, this would just be a dagger to the heart for Patriots fans, Nick Foles.
Yeah, I don't think I could stomach that. I don't think I could stomach
so
that.
So much mediocrity that it hurts.
Well, that's why. I mean, these are the top veteran quarterbacks that are likely available.
Yep.
So there's not going to be any studs.
He did, by the way, go out of his way. He said, listen, we're kind of skipping the ones that you know aren't going to happen.
Watson, Wilson,
you're not
going to
get Watson, Wilson,
are the
Prescott.
Three
they're
best
not coming
that might
here.
Move. Right. And then I think that's why rookie quarterback is still the avenue that I want. If you can't get Wilson, that's probably too much of a pipe dream. I guess I'm all in on Fields or Lance. One of those two guys. Trade up, get one of those two guys. But out of just this group, I guess Jimmy Garoppolo is the best actual quarterback, but he's hurt all the time. That I would maybe pivot to Fitzy's guy, Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. If we're just looking at the 10 players that are on this list, Minshew has the best chance to have a 16-game productive season.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah, he started 20 games, 7 and 13. By the way, I believe of those 7 wins, 3 were comeback wins where he led late drives to help the Jaguars, by the way, not exactly
the Jaguars,
factory over the past 2 seasons, where, by the way, Doug Marrone, once again, everybody, Doug Marrone was his head coach, and he was able to do that in those 20 games. You watch, Rich. You said it earlier in the show as j'accused Gary Tanguay of Tang snaking me. He take snaked me. The old Tanger took it from me. Wow. That's right. Tanger take snaked me with his article yesterday and banging the drum on the radio. You watch now. This is going to start. Tyler Sullivan's got him on the list, Dale. This is the first national list we've seen with Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania is going to start to pick up some traction. He's going to start sneaking in some top 5 lists nationally across the country because there's a lot of viability. There's a lot to like. And I still think Urban Meyer might sweetheart his old pal Belichick a pretty good price on this guy.
By the way, the other name, and Tyler Sullivan said, the other quarterback who's not on his list is Sam Darnold, because New York absolutely would not trade him within the division. I don't think they trade him within the division. I don't think there's any chance they'd trade him to the Patriots.
Probably
even if Belichick
not.
Came up with the best offer, I don't think they would.
I was going to say, that is bad business. You know, the Patriots traded Drew Bledsoe in the division and didn't really come back to bite them at all. Like, if they have the best deal, they should trade him there, but I think it's probably unlikely that he goes there. No, I think, if nothing else, the 10 names are very realistic names.
Yes.
Like, you could make a case for all these guys. I would say Garoppolo and Bridgewater, I think that's probably it, are going to cost you $20-plus million. And so even if they're two of the better quarterbacks on this list, does Bill want to go to that extreme, right? He's not going to pay Brady 25, but he's going to pay Jimmy 20 or Bridgewater 20. He might look a little bit lower, and that's where Minshew, Mariota, the return of Cam Newton, that's where all those guys factor in.
Let me give you one other quarterback tidbit here. Again, CBSSports.com. This is from Jason LaConfora, and you'll get a kick out of this because he's talking about some upcoming trades. And by the way, he thinks that Stephon Gilmore could be a big-name trade who could be upcoming here very soon, but he's got a clue about Deshaun Watson. He says, I picked up another tidbit, however, that could further facilitate a blockbuster deal between the Texans and the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh.
If and when the Texans face reality and come off their position of not dealing their quarterback. You're going to love this one. Mm-hmm. League sources said Texans executive Jack Easterby, whose influence and import in that organization has only grown the last 6 months, despite whatever is said or written about him, has a very close relationship with Panthers executive Stephen Drummond, who has risen in that organization to great heights since owner David Tepper took over. Sources said Drummond was under consideration for the Texans team president opening before he got promoted again by Tepper. And according to LaConfora, the Deshaun Watson deal could actually be brokered by Jack Easterby and Stephen Drummond.
So Caserio,
Nick Caserio will take hostages at that point.
Caserio has to trade Watson, but he doesn't even get to determine which team and what the package is. Nice. Well, he's making a lot of money though, I guess. So.
Yep, and fans.
Yes.
If he thought that tweet that went viral last week of the Houston area restaurant saying this table reserved for anyone other than Jack Easterby was a sign of things to come, just wait until they finally make this deal. No matter how Herschel Walker-esque the haul they get in return for him is.
So this is one where I wonder if Deshaun Watson does go to Carolina, and if part of the Carolina deal is sending Teddy Bridgewater to Houston, I think that kind of kills Garoppolo here, unless you're thinking maybe Minnesota, because those are two teams that are at least in the mix for Garoppolo, right? Like, he could be moving there, and then the Niners say, all right, we're just going to keep him, right? Like, it's not as much musical chairs as maybe we had thought.
Well, my guess is it wouldn't include Bridgewater because they're going to draft their quarterback with the draft pick they get from Carolina.
But they could take on Bridgewater. He's only got, a year left on his deal or two? They could take him on, and they could have both guys on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, take the rookie with Bridgewater, so it's not just a disaster.
617-779-7937. Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Hey, two quick points. Firstly, I think that Garoppolo's contract, that if they pick up this year, I think it locks him in for the next two. So I think it's a reason San Francisco would be hesitant to pick up Garoppolo's contract this offseason. And the second point I was thinking is that it's probably easier to do a three-team trade with Houston and the Patriots, you know, assuming, you know, include the 15th pick and Gilmore to Houston. San Francisco sends picks to Houston. Deshaun Watson goes to San Francisco, and Garoppolo comes back to the Patriots. Love to hear what you guys have to say on it.
Yeah, you don't really see many three-team deals in the NFL. Like, the NBA, it's like commonplace.
Every day. But yeah, they have four-team deals.
In the NFL, I don't really recall too many. I mean, I think you'd probably all that could work out, but it might have to be separate deals. Like, when was the last time you guys remember seeing a three-team deal in the NFL?
I can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably happened more recently than we think, but I can't remember what that particular deal was.
By the way, Tom E. Curran, our buddy who will join us on tomorrow's program, NBCSportsBoston.com, was asked on Twitter his thoughts on Alex Smith. Because the reports are that the Washington football team is about to cut ties with Alex Smith. He's not on Tyler Sullivan's list. Tom writes, upgrade on Cam. A caretaker type who's smart enough to know when to get rid of it and can be accurate. But the age and injury history means that, unlike Trubisky, you know there's no shot of he'd be more than a one-year thing. He'd simply buy time until the answer is secured.
Yeah, zero upside on Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm. No, he is the... You know, we'll maybe draft our quarterback next year.
Quintessence of placeholder. That's all he is.
Or if he's the guy, right? If you do draft a guy and you need the one other veteran, I guess he's in that category. But if it's Alex Smith, Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, like, Smith would be towards the bottom of that group at this point. I mean, for me, it would be.
Wow. What a Salvation Army bucket of misfit toys that is.
It is a mess, isn't it?
Unreal.
The guys are
unbelievable.
And this is what 75-85% of football teams deal with every year. And for 30 years in New England, you just knew who the quarterback was going to be. So you didn't have to do this all offseason.
And you liked who the quarterback was going to be.
This is how most teams live.
He's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I like that option. Oh, it's Bledsoe? Fine. Good. Oh, it's Brady? Good. Fine. Mm-hmm. Who can they get as their, you know, the slot corner? Like, that was a bigger concern. Now it's the most important position in sports.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll touch on what the Bruins did this past weekend when we come back. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
This is breaking news.
Well, we've got another big-time, big-name free agent signing in the offseason in the National Football League. We mentioned earlier that there was the joke about J.J. Watt's Peloton bio had been updated, and it listed Green Bay, Cleveland, and Buffalo. Well, it's none of those. J.J. Watt has signed with the Arizona Cardinals.
How about this?
He posted a photo of him lifting weights in an Arizona Cardinals shirt and said, "Source, me." It has.
Oh, he's got a serious. Oh, look, he's got a real serious face on. Also, I would question why would you work out with a winter hat on? Seems dumb as hell.
If he's in Wisconsin, it's cold there, but I don't.
He's
know.
Inside.
Or you're balding like me.
He's inside.
Where wow.
So
he
this
got
is
an Arizona Cardinals baseball tee, and he's squatting with a real serious face. He's like, "Hey, somebody take this picture of me with a real serious face, and then I have a great tweet planned." Source me.
Well, I had not heard his name paired up with Arizona before this. According to Adam Schefter, J.J. Watt is getting a 2-year, $31 million deal that includes $23 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't think he's that good anymore. I mean, he's definitely, you know, an NFL starter, and I feel like a team that, you know, needs a little something, maybe he can push you over, but he's not the game wrecker that he was before. But you put him on a team, and if Chandler Jones is healthy, Cardinals needed help defensively.
Yep.
You turn them around. Yeah,
that's
an upcoming team, you know? We kind of slept on them as far as being – we were looking at Tennessee and, like, his relationship with Vrabel, or go back to – Wisconsin and play for the Packers, or Buffalo was all in on him. There's a lot of teams that made sense. Arizona, kind of an up-and-coming team. I think they're certainly more well-known for their offense and Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, who he's going to be teammates with once again. I'm sure Hopkins put in a good word for how things are in Arizona. But, yeah, that's an interesting sign. That seems like a lot of money for J.J. Watt at this stage of his career. But, you know, either way, they're trying to improve their defense.
What they basically just did, Dale, was they swapped out Patrick Peterson for J.J. Watt.
Money-wise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're going to draft a cornerback now. They'll get younger at the position, and they just brought in someone, like you said, Rich, Chandler Jones coming off offseason surgery last year, misses the majority of 2020. Now they feel like they can get a real line to get after Stafford and Russell Wilson. You watch out. This could, like, NFC South and especially now NFC West, we could be talking about, again, a 2 and possibly 3 team playoff scenario where they come out of that division.
But this isn't Super Bowl ring chasing. That you would have gone to a bunch of other teams over them. Like, look at the Vegas odds to win the Super Bowl. Arizona's not in the top 5.
No, Green Bay would have been, I think, his best choice of the teams that he had been paired with.
Yeah,
that
Green Bay or Buffalo.
About. Yeah, maybe. Either one.
What if he thinks, though?
The trouble is Buffalo's got to get past Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl. I guess Green Bay.
Right.
Just has to get past the defending Tampa Bay, Super Bowl champions.
Team just
right?
won.
Yeah,
I'll shoot you guys straight. What if he thinks that maybe playing in a dome in a warm weather climate like that is better for him over the next 2 years, as opposed to like, I'll be good, but then like December, January, playing outdoors in the freezing cold. I'm just thinking like someone who's looking to prolong his career and try to play at the peak level at that peak level for as long as possible. I mean, why not? Everyone makes the joke like retired people either go to Florida or Arizona, right?
Yeah, maybe. But he also, I think, probably ended up going to the place that offered him the most money. Now, it's not a basement-dwelling team. It's clearly a much better situation than Houston, but it's not one of the powerhouses in the NFC.
Now, according to Pro Football Focus and using their fancy Dan metrics, he was the 7th highest-graded edge defender in 2020.
That's because he batted down 8 Cam Newton passes.
Just against
in one
Newton,
game.
Yeah. He got most of that.
Kind of skewed the numbers, I think.
But he certainly still has game left, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he's definitely not done. I just think when you are the, 3-time defensive player of the year
right.
or whatever he was, like, he was one of the best defensive players I've ever seen. And then, you know, he had some injuries. He was able to come back from the injury and is definitely more than serviceable. But, I mean, you look at this was a guy that at one time. He had 20 sacks in a season. And I know the guys, John and Scheim, are going to say sacks are overrated. But I'm just, for the point of this discussion, he was a 20-sack guy. Last year he had 5. So doesn't mean he's not valuable. Doesn't mean he can't still get after the quarterback and things like that. But he's, 32 years old? So clearly his best days are behind him. But his best days were Hall of Fame worthy. So, like, he's still a good player.
Is this the growing trend now? Where guys are announcing their signings themselves. I mean, the Cardinals don't even get to announce this because J.J. Watt did.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, this has been happening for a while, and I got the biggest kick out of it. It was years ago. I think Darren Williams, the basketball player, was, like, re-signing with the Nets or something like that, and he tweeted about it. And then Chris Broussard went on Twitter and said that he was going to the Nets. And we're like, yeah, we know. He told us. Darren told us. Go check out Darren's account. Like, you didn't break the story. Because even Schefter, to his credit, he tweeted out Watt going to the Cardinals per J.J. Watt. Like, he at least, you know, give him credit. Don't pretend like you knew it before the player did.
By the way, is there any, like, of course, this is easy to verify. You don't have to look at the blue check mark or what the name is on the at handle. Because only J.J. Watt would announce that he's going someplace while performing a squat.
While wearing a winter
hat. It is the most J.J. Watt thing.
Yeah,
like if you didn't get enough of J.J. Watt catching one-handed footballs on Hard Knocks, guess what? Now he's wearing a winter hat and squatting in his announcement that he's going to the Cardinals.
The only surprise here is that he didn't tweet out a video of him doing squats and as he was on his way back up saying, 2-year deal, Cardinals!
With this song playing.
With this song and then him rapping it after the
game. Or like a TikTok where he squats wearing one thing and then as he stands...
Oh, that's a good one, Dale.
Oh, Dale!
Yeah. Texan shirt, then pack up and it's a Cardinals shirt. I can see that.
TikTok Arnold.
Uh-huh.
I don't have it, but I see enough of it to... look, this is a big off-season signing, and we've had some big off-season deals so far. You know, Jared Goff going for Matthew Stafford. I mean, we've had some stuff going on here.
Oh, yeah.
That this offseason has already been
move.
Carson Wentz. This has been a pretty big offseason already, and technically the league year hasn't even begun yet. That's, what, the 17th, I think?
Yes. 15th is when you can do, like, the legal tampering. So there's a two-day window, and then the March 17th you can let it fly. So, I mean, some big names changing teams. We focus so much on the quarterbacks, but – there's going to be plenty of others. You know, we're talking even locally if Stephon Gilmore gets dealt. Now that's two defensive player of the years that are going to be changing teams. But, yeah, J.J. Watt out of the AFC, out of a bad team there, goes to a better situation in Arizona. Although, again, still not the favorite to win the NFC. Are they the best team in their division even?
I don't know.
Probably not. Well, I mean if Russell Wilson stays. If Russell Wilson stays, and the Rams.
And the Rams would probably still be my choice. But I will say, a defense that has Chandler Jones on one side and J.J. Watt on the other.
Pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. When Russell Wilson's worried about getting sacked 400 times over the last 9 years and now he's got to face this twice a week.
Yeah, pretty good.
Oh, good. And then Buda Baker's on a safety blitz up the middle. Have fun with that.
Mm-hmm. Dale, can I push back on something Rich said earlier? Not push back completely, but Rich, you pointed out that Shyam and I don't like sacks as a stat.
Yeah, I don't like sacks.
So the rule of thumb here is that eventually pressures will lead to sacks. So we have pressure is what we more so go to. J.J. Watt is still 31st in the league in pressure, so it just means he's not converting pressures into sacks. But if he goes somewhere where you have Chandler Jones, maybe double teams, I think he can be pretty effective.
Are you one of those you like holds better than saves type of guy, John?
All right, do not start going.
I don't know what a hold is. So,
how many holds?
It's what Shyam has on music. He's got.
I don't care about war.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Spike King is in Bridgewater.
Hey guys, how's it going? Happy
What's
Monday.
Up?
Crazy What's news about J.J. Watt. We'll see what other big moves they make this offseason. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the NFL draft real quick and the 15th overall pick that the Patriots have. And I just kind of want to get an open discussion going out there. You know, everyone's trying to pin Mac Jones, maybe Kyle Trask, whatever they end up doing. Does Bill Belichick want to tie cap space and take a cap hit and dead cap on a quarterback that early? And I just want to make an example of, say, Jordan Love. He was the 26th overall pick, and his dead cap last year was $6.5 million, and he didn't even play. So, and then this year, it's going to be $9.3 million. And then even someone like N'Keal Harry, a first-round draft pick for the New England Patriots, his dead cap the first year was $7.7 million. So when you look at the $60 million in cap space, and I'm sure there'll be other cuts and moves made, but does Bill Belichick truly want to tie that into a quarterback? Or does he want to wait to the second or third round where you had someone like a Jimmy Garoppolo's dead cap when he was a second-round quarterback was about $1 to $2 million in his first year?
I really hope he doesn't care about that. It's the most important position, and if he's worried about carrying a few extra million dollars, they have the cap space. And I'm never – I, for one, don't think that you know, you're going to lose players you really want because of the cap. Like, you're going to always manipulate it. Bill himself has said that in the past, so I wouldn't worry about that. If you really like the player in the first round, I hope to God they take him.
The other part about Arizona landing J.J. Watt, their defensive coordinator is Vance Joseph. He was the Texans' DB coach the first 3 years J.J. Watt played in the NFL. So I'm sure he's got, you know, working knowledge. My guess is Vance Joseph helped sell him on the whole idea.
And when he was in Denver, he was having the time of his life.
Of his life, yeah. No,
all-time drop. All-time.
Oh, God.
By the way, is that guy – where is that guy?
I don't think...
does a lot of soccer stuff for ESPN.
There you go.
I don't think
Sergio Dimm,
somebody soccer, put, sees him.
Put into the broadcast relocation program faster.
Yeah. I watched the rest of that entire game waiting for his second hit, and it never happened.
Not
never
surprised.
Once.
Having the time of his life.
Yeah, oh, it was incredible.
Jay's in Brockton. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? What I'm personally thinking is, okay, we need a quarterback, sure, whatever. Yes. But Devontae Smith is somebody I think we should try to trade up for. Take on Marcus Mariota, maybe even be able to keep Cam Newton there. And I think that would actually make us more competitive as a team in full.
I'm not a huge Marcus Mariota guy.
I don't like either one of the quarterbacks that he mentioned. I think Devontae Smith would help whatever quarterback you had.
Absolutely.
But those two guys, man, I think I've personally seen enough out of both. I would like to go in a different direction.
But if Mariota
Smith, sure. If we're talking about people to trade up for, add him to the list.
But if Mariota were to shake free and the Raiders just say, like, you know, I can't have $10.6 million dead on the cap this year, Mike, and they get rid of him, right? Then now Mariota's an unrestricted free agent, so the Patriots are not going to have to sign him or hold on to him for $10 to $18 million, depending on what the incentives and escalators were. So you could potentially add him to the mix, Rich, for a whole lot less, and. If there's no bidding war for him, the Patriots might literally have a brand new quarterback room full of unbid on. Again, I know you don't like the unclaimed toys quarterback room, but
no,
that's exactly what we might. We could be looking at a bunch of guys that nobody else wanted for the lump sum of a lot of other teams' backup. Like, you know, Chase Daniel may cost more than the entire Patriots quarterback room this year.
But what I really hope for, because what happened last year was there's a bunch of quarterbacks that moved teams. There's a bunch of quarterbacks that were available, and the Patriots waited until only one was left, and then they signed that player. This year, there's going to be maybe even a bigger group of players, whether they are likely trades, free agents, or I guess throw the draft in there. Are the Patriots going to identify who they want? So, yeah, it's not a group of elite players, but if there's 10 of them, one of them's the best. Like, one of them's better than the rest of them. Are they going to be somewhat aggressive there, or are they going to take a similar approach and say, we can wait till May this year and see who's standing, because then we can get him for a real good deal. Like, I don't like that plan.
Mm-mm.
I think that the problem with the Garoppolo angle, because I said I think Garoppolo's the most likely starting quarterback for the Patriots this coming year. I don't think you're going to get anything done until draft day. I think that's when it's going to happen.
Which would still be almost 2 months earlier than when you got Cam Newton. So on that timeline, you'll take it.
I mean,
but it could be 2 months too late to get you some of the players that you want to add onto this team, especially when it comes to the mid-level wide receivers and skill position players, Dale.
That's true.
Absolutely. Look, I've been saying all along that tight ends and wide receivers do want to know who's going to be throwing them the football.
It helps.
Money matters. It matters a lot. But if they have reasonably equal offers from two different teams and they know who Team B's quarterback is, they don't know who Team A's, the Patriots quarterback, is, that's going to make the decision pretty easy for them.
True, but I also like to Andy Hart. He's brought this point up before when talking about that, and you just look at, out of all those quarterbacks that are available, we just looked at a list of 10 veteran quarterbacks. I don't think any of them would be good recruiters necessarily. I don't think there's a receiver that says, ooh, you got Mariota, or ooh, you got Nick Foles. I don't think any of them would say that. Now, maybe they hold, you know, is like Jarrett Stidham, that's all you have? And then if you're the Patriots, you're like, well, obviously we're going to sign somebody else. Like, here's a group of, like, we're going to grab one of these guys, and maybe it wouldn't be quite as, seen as quite of a negative.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll touch on what the Bruins and Celtics did this weekend, including a roster addition by the Bruins and a possible roster addition for the Celtics. We'll get Keefe's thought on that. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.